Hey, what is up? Let's get a show together. This is Norm and Mike. We are together, the Leafs Convo, Season 5, Episode 15. It is December 4th, 2022. The Leafs coming off a 4-3 overtime loss. What else is new? To the Tampa Bay Lightning. What else is new? Mr. Augello, let's not paint too dire a picture. The Leafs have picked up points in 11 straight. A five-game winning streak has come to an end. But geez, six straight losses in overtime, falling again to what you call their kryptonite, the Lightning. I'm sure something is grinding your gears. Good morning.
Good morning, Norm. By the way, you said season five episode. It's like as we're almost as many as Star Wars movies. It's like, you know, but yeah, exactly.
Sadler and Waldorf of creating Leafs content.
Last night's performance sort of pushed my buttons, not because, you know, I mean, you cannot complain about the way that this team is playing right now, especially with you know, half a defense. Mitch Marner, you know, sets the record 19 consecutive games to the point, which I think is a little bit being oversold, but it's a great accomplishment. I'm just saying it's not like he scored 50 and 39 like Gretzky. You know, and Nylander scoring well, and Matthews is back on the roll, and Tavares is playing well, and they're getting really good performances from a shorthanded defensive core. But you're playing a team that you lost to in seven games last year. They're really it seemed to me like an oh by the way Saturday game against Tampa Bay, where whereas I mean I think most Leaf fans are like I want to see blood on the ice, but this is a team that's not going to give you blood on the ice and retribution or whatever. And in spite of the fact that the Leafs out hit the Lightning, which I was a little bit surprised at, and they took the play to them the first two periods, just like in the playoff series against Tampa Bay, the Lightning, the veteran, experienced, tested Lightning, turn it on when they need to. Early in the third period, get power plays. Don't get called for things that they do, but get the team responding to take penalties. Score two power play goals where the Leafs power play in the first two periods got a lot of chances, but couldn't beat Vasilevsky.
Mike, the Lightning, the Leafs are not okay. So,
right. But that's who they have to be or have to be better than to win. Mm-hmm. And that is the whole point with all the changes. And granted, like I said, they're playing shorthanded. They don't have Brody. They don't have Riley. That means those guys play 25 minutes a night instead of Giordano and Hall. And Sandin and Liljegren are, I think, where they should be in the middle pairing now. But the point is that for them to have success and win when they haven't won since 2004, they have to beat that team when it counts. And last night was not when it counts, but it was a Saturday night game in early December. But what did that team do when they needed to? They turned it on and they scored two power play goals and they won less than a minute into overtime. And that's all I'm saying. The Leafs have to be better than that, and they weren't.
So Mitch Marner scores a shorty to get things going and then scores a power play goal to equalize the game, sending it into overtime. We know of the Leafs' issues in the extra frame. I wasn't expecting anything but this to happen. And I'm actually not surprised that it ended 33 seconds into overtime. They're not configured properly and they haven't set their minds right to just go for it, try to score, but also be cognizant of what is to come the other way in this fire wagon type of 3-on-3 scenario. So yeah. I'm really not surprised. I don't know if they played as bad a game or if they were responseless to the degree that you may be suggesting here, Mike. They weren't that bad.
No. Like I said, they were the best team overall in the game, and they were the best team in the first two periods. And then in the third period, Tampa Bay realizes that you don't have to play a 60-minute game with their talent to be able to win. Especially against a team as Toronto is with a defense, with half a defense. And they were able, and okay, here is where I look at Tampa, I look at Toronto, and the makeup of the team drives me crazy, because you have Matthews and Marner and Nylander and Tavares, the core four.
Right.
And other than sometimes Matthews with his, you know, significant size on the ice, imposing his will, you know, they're guys who get pushed around and don't push people around in general. You look at Tampa Bay, Nikita Kucherov is 5'10", 180 pounds. He's cross-checking people. He's going to dirty areas. He's drawing penalties. He's playing 22, 23 minutes a night like Marner.
He's playing playoff hockey, Mike, because he has success in the playoffs.
Right, and that's the point. The point is you've got him doing that. You've got Anthony Cirelli being scummy and slimy, and you know I could do with a couple of guys like Braden Point doing the same thing. And they have size up front like Killorn and Maroon, and you know Hagel's their version of Michael Bunting. The guy who was the most physical. I mean, you barely noticed Wayne Simmonds except for when he was in the penalty box. The guy who was the most physical guy on the ice last night was Michael Bunting taking on a 6'4" Eric Cernak. And that is an issue with I think a large chunk of the fan base, that when push comes to shove, this team will get pushed around in a playoff scenario, and they can't allow that to happen. They can't. I mean, you know, Matt Murray gets sideswiped by Steven Stamkos. Maybe it was coincidental. Maybe it was on purpose. Anthony Cirelli goes to the net alongside Tavares, goes right into Matt Murray, and Matt Murray with his injury history, you don't want that to happen. How do you know that that didn't have an effect on Matt Murray in overtime when he gets beat by a shot by Alex Killorn that normally he would stop? That's the thing. I mean, those things have consequences. And when you do that to players on your team, the only way to stop it is to respond in kind, to do that to Vasilevsky, to do that to Kucherov, to do that to some of the players on Tampa Bay. And there is literally no pushback from this team when it counts. And that is...
Mike, you sound surprised.
No, but I would like something. I would like somebody to do something about it.
OG Converse, do you feel the same way? Let us know in the chat if you're listening to this or watching this after the live show, which we encourage you to do. Let us know inside the comments, like the content, and subscribe to the channel. Last night's game was, again, not inadequate, but there are some inadequacies that this team demonstrates and that has demonstrated and has caused it to fail season after season, that we are not seeing amended or improved upon. And that's the thing, Mike, what is the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again. So, you know, while in the moment, the Leafs are one of the best teams in the league right now, and Mitch Marner is red hot. I mean, extending the point streak to 19 games, that's a franchise record. That's amazing. Again, last night felt to me like an extension of that playoff series where it was a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Tampa comes out on top. Where is the emphatic pushback to say, fuck you, Tampa? You've won too many titles. You've been the thorn in our side. We've wanted to be like you. Not only are we going to, you know, rise to your level, we're going to eclipse you, and we're going to eclipse you with, you know, a different hockey that you haven't seen from us before that we know is required to succeed. I think that's what's leaving some fans, including yourself, you know, a little perturbed, wouldn't you say?
Well, I mean, okay. And part of the loss, and this was the first loss since Morgan Rielly was injured that I'd say that the shorthanded Leafs defense hurt them, in the sense that Mac Hollowell should not be penalty killing. And he was out there late in the PK. Maybe it was a line change late in the PK. And that was the game. That was the goal that Ross Colton scored to put Tampa up 3-2. He shouldn't be out there. But right. if you look at the minutes that Giordano and Hall logged, they over 25 minutes. That, you know, they're lucky that right now they're getting rest in between games because they're really leaning on these guys until Brody and Riley get back. So right. that I think that hurt them. I thought Sandin and Lojgren played really well. I think, you know, Giordano and Hall played really well. The Mete-Hollowell pairing only played like 11, 12 minutes. And I have a feeling that probably in Dallas on Tuesday, you're going to see Connor Timmins for the first time. But my issue is the return of Riley and Brody will improve the team defensively, will make them
It tougher though, Mike, and that's I think
that's right. That's exactly my point. What the reason why Tampa won is not going to be solved by the return of Brody and Riley, and that's the thing. I'm not saying go out and be like the Broad Street Bullies and get a bunch of goons. You cannot have your only pushback on your team being a 5'10", 170-pound Michael Bunting and Wayne Simmonds, who plays 8 minutes a night. It cannot. They need size and pushback in the top nine. They've needed it for years. They addressed it with the addition of Nick Foligno at the deadline, and then he got hurt. I mean, it's been something that they've needed for a while. And they continue to need it. And until they do, it's going to be all the pressure is going to be on that core four to fight through and score. And for guys in the bottom six, like, you know, and Dennis Malgin or, you know, Pierre Engvall, who plays like he's 5'6", you know, they need players to play a physical game. And if you look at Tampa, Nick Paul, Hagel, Killorn, Maroon, it's right. throughout their lineup.
It'd be more fun to watch too. So the Leafs culture are the four guys up front plus Morgan Riley. Who of that 5-6 throws them, hits, plays a game on the line, right? None of them do. I mean, Marner's heart is there. He is in the heart conversation right now based on what he's doing. Austin Matthews, who according to the OGs in conference, is LA bound in 2 years,
yeah.
is one of the best players of this generation. He's taken a Leafs player to spots that it hasn't been ever before or in quite some time. So he's amazing. William Nylander, again, it's all about the stats and the metrics for him. And as long as he's getting his, you know that his fans will be happy about that. But these guys, they're not going to change the style of play. They're not going to be more aggressive. Now they might become more mature, and we've seen that. Hopefully they feel like they're improving on things that need to be made better so they can be better hockey players. But none of these dudes that I've mentioned are just going to transform into wild, rough and tumble, aggressive, physical players overnight just because they feel like they may have to. So that's the issue. You've got the culture set. You have the guys at the top who really, you know, have kind of tried to experiment with a little bit of toughness and kind of an outlier way. But, you know, it's not intrinsic, you know, right down the middle of the heartbeat of this organization where, you know, this is a physical group. We have some talent here, too. We have stability. We have great goaltending. You come at us, you want to fuck with us, you're going to get fucked. Unfortunately, that's not the case. It's can we outscore you? If we can, and most nights we possibly can, then we're going to be in good position. But if you bring all of the extra shit at us, we're going to be in trouble. And, you know, again, even from a perspective of just kind of these guys willing themselves to win because they feel now is the time, that remains to be seen if they can kind of get into that mindset and make things happen. Sorry about being long-winded there, but it's true.
Well, I mean, the thing is up front last night, the leaders in hits were Michael Bunting and Nick Robertson. And right. Tampa's like, shoo, fly. Shoot, you know.
Yeah, and they out-hit the Lightning 31-10, which right, is rare because they usually are out-hit and egregiously so. So,
what does it matter? What does it matter when it's Nick Robertson and Michael Bunting? That's my point. It's
Robertson's got to do something, Mike, to endear himself. And
that's not his role.
Okay,
that's
well, At least someone's trying.
Norm, what I'm saying is like, okay, Nick Robertson is a scorer. He's 5'10". I'm not saying that the willingness of those guys to do what they do is bad. It's good, but you need to reflect what winning teams do, and they have big players who are physical, who wear on other teams. And there's nobody on the Leafs right now other than Wayne Simmonds, who plays 8 minutes a night, that physically can do that. And, you know, the people in the chat were like, well, they had Mason Marchman. Okay, that's been legislated already. That was a mistake. And instead of a 6'4" Mason Marchman, you have a 4'6" Dennis Malgin. Okay, and somebody else said, I think it was Chris Daniels, said Matthew Nyes. You really want to put all the physical onus on a 20-year-old kid coming out of college?
I get what he's saying, but it's unfair. That would be just so fucking irresponsible of a team that purports to be, one of the best and one of the smartest minded groups of hockey people in the league. That would be ridiculous. Chris, we're not shitting on you.
This has been a long criticism. I mean, I've never been a really harsh critic of Kyle Dubas. I think overall, in general, he has done a fantastic job.
Right.
But philosophically, where I've disagreed is that this team is too small and gets pushed around too much, and they need to be able to push back, and they need to be able to be proactive when it comes to being physical, and they don't have the players to do it. And that was what Montreal did to them in the bubble. That was what Tampa Bay did last year. And who are the two teams that right now at this moment they have to get by to get to the second round or the conference finals in the Atlantic Division?
The Boston
Bruins and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Right. And what kind of style do they play?
Well, I couldn't see anything but a rough and tumble, go screw your opponent over with physicality and bravado. I couldn't see any other kind of game being played in a place like Boston. Really? You're going to have a fucking ice capades in a city like that? I don't think so. I think there's still a sense amongst Leaf fans and, the brass that, well, this is Toronto. This is high and mighty. I mean, we've got it all figured out, even though we don't. Considering the amount of scoring prowess this team does have, and then you do have some offensive elements from the blue line, and the team has never been in a position where it lacks offense. Even back in the shitty days, they could score some goals. They just couldn't keep it out of their net. Why wouldn't you make your second, third battalions be rough and tumble? Guys with speed, power, aggression. What the fuck is it about these? I mean, Nick Robertson's a draft pick, but these Dennis Malgin kinds of guys, what the fuck are these guys going to do to this team to make it better? Really, they're useless.
Those players are tough to find, and that's why, like, I have railed about Mason Marchman, because Mason Marchman was a free agent signing, an undrafted free agent who they developed and got to the NHL and played four games before they traded him away for a midget in Dennis Malgin. And, and that's the thing. I'm not casting aspersions on Malgin. Malgin's a fine player. He's a fourth line guy, but they needed size at that point. They needed guys. Now, the criticism of Marchman was that he was not able to stay healthy, and he's had a few injuries here or there because he plays a rough and tumble game, but they need that size. And Chris Daniels is saying, like, Marcus Foligno. I love Marcus Foligno. I'd love Lawson Krause. Big guys who can play in your top nine, who can do other things other than just hit. They can penalty kill. Like, Krause can penalty kill, could stand in front of the net. I mean, in a way, he might even be able to play top six for Toronto because he plays the left side. He could play with Tavares and Marner. That's the whole point. You need guys with size who play 16, 17 minutes a night, and not guys who play 8 or 9 minutes a night. And what I'm afraid of is that we're just going to see the same repeat of at what we've seen before. You know, they're going to have a fantastic regular season. They're going to finish in second place or first place in the Atlantic, and then they're going to come up against a tougher team that will run them physically, that will wear them down, and that will be in the end beat them. And until they address that, I don't know if they're going to win. Yeah, Jordan Greenway would be great. Like it'd be great if I could get a date with Sarah McLaughlin, but that's not going to happen either. So I mean, you know, that's my point. It's like
still hasn't happened. You've been trying,
right? I keep trying, but you have to develop these guys.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the problem is like that they're not drafting big guys. They're, you know, they've traded first round picks and they're drafting. Now, Nyes is the exception to the rule, and I think he's going to be a good player. I do. But you can't expect him to be injected into the lineup.
He didn't shit up, Matt.
Yeah, I don't think you can expect him to be injected into the lineup in late March or early April, 10 games before the playoffs start, and expect him to be Tom Wilson. And that just won't happen. It's not fair for that to happen. So there you go.
OG's converts, are we out of our minds? Go to community on the Leafs Combo channel, youtube.com/theleafscombo. You're probably here right now. If you're not, you're listening to us on podcast. That's where you should go. Go into community and let us know if you think we're crazy. Do you think the Leafs need to just become more physical with the right players if they can find them or develop them? And how do you think that will make this group better and take it to the next level? Or do you think that we're just a bunch of idiots and that the way to go is to just stay skilled, stay the course. The rest of the league will finally succumb to the great ship Maple Leaf and just all lay down their sticks and let this team push forward. That's the whole point, right? We put it out there and then you guys respond to it. As much vitriol in season 5, Mike, I don't know, you know, are we coming across as a little more passive and a little more positive and people are responding to that? Or maybe nobody's listening. Maybe we've been saying all along, people are starting to, understand a little bit better, not to say they don't know more, they know less hockey than we do, but it's not as if we're telling tales out of school here or completely fucking crazy. This team has lacked something. It still lacks something. And that lack of something will continue this lack of success as this group led by Kyle Dubas and fronted by Auston Matthews pushes forward. And regardless of what we think, Mike, there will come a time where this group will have to confront its accomplishments or lack thereof, and changes will be made. If it's in 10 years, 8 years, 6 years, 4 years, 2 years,
you would be tone deaf if you didn't admit that the way that the Leafs are playing right now. I mean, okay, they lost one game in regulation in November. This year is playing out like last year. Struggle in October, red hot in November. Last year in December, they were playing pretty well, and then everything got shut down for 2.5 weeks because the pandemic, or you know, positives were up around the league. So they played fairly consistently from New Year's on, although they didn't get great goaltending from New Year's on. My point is like, you look at what happened last year and you look at how it ended. And you look at what is happening this year, and in spite of the fact that there are some different players and different goaltenders, and maybe the goaltending will make a difference, and I think it will, because I think Matt Murray, if healthy, is better, and Ilya Samsonov is better than Jack Campbell and Peter Mrazek. That's not going out on a limb. But they need other things to make them be able to beat teams like Boston and Tampa. You can say they lost by a goal in game 7 to Tampa. Yeah, they lost on 2 goals by Nick Paul, okay? A big forward who they couldn't stop going to the net. And that is an issue. It continues to be an issue. So, I mean, you know, you can say that I don't think the sky is falling.
No.
But you see the signs. Right. Of what happened last year being repeated this year. And I'm just calling them out. If they do something to change that and they have a different end result, that's fantastic. But even in their success, I see the seeds of failure.
Mike, I have to read his comment. And a lot of the OGs in the chat think Mr. Alan Tam is a fucking troll. But You know, Allen comes back constantly, and I don't have anything against them. All you clowns, stop being fake laugh fans. Why can't you guys just say it the way it is? The laughs are going nowhere. They will get ousted again this year. First round, just watch. You know, Mike, you and I can say the same thing Allen just said in a much more politically correct way.
Well, Allen, first of all, for you to refer to Leaf fans as laugh fans means that you're not a Leaf fan. So, you know what? Go jump in the lake. Go jump in Lake Ontario without a life preserve.
Right. Your gears are grinding enough, Mike.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing is, he has said in a really, you know, rudimentary, rough, explicit and, you know, very mean way what you or I can say, or he can probably say, or the rest of us can probably admit.
We say it with love.
And exactly. Calm it down. I would like to see some tougher hockey just for fucking entertainment. Like, I'd love to see it. The big four scoring, and then an auxiliary group, the support group going in and just fucking people up. I would love to see it. The way that this team has been playing over the last several years, you know that the offense won't lack anything. It'll be there. It's just everything else. Why can't you be a tougher team? Why? Just try it. Just go for it. Just be a tougher team. And that's why I think last night's loss isn't sitting well for fans who right now are quietly optimistic about the process forward. But last night reminds us of the past and kind of brings home that lack of fire, that lack of finish that we've seen before and that we know will rear its ugly head again. Just a few more comments and let's get out of here.
Why was the 93 team, and you know, you could say if Alan Tam was bringing this up, as well, these are the only two teams that ever won anything in the last 50 years. But why are the 1993-94 Leafs and the 2002 Leafs that made conference finals, why are they so beloved in Leaf history? Because not only did they have talent, but they had pushback. They had Tucker. They had Domi. They had Wendell Clark. They had physical players. They did not get pushed around. They pushed around. They responded. And I think that that's the reason that those teams were loved. Now, you know, they also were loved because they won, but I think that goes hand in glove. You win if you're multidimensional. I keep saying this. If you look at the teams over the last decade that have won Stanley Cups, they can play physical. They can play defense. They can play offense. They're good on special teams. They get good goaltending. The Leafs have some of those things. I think they have right now. They have good goaltending. I think they can score. I think, you know, a team like Washington was like the Leafs for years, where they were a high flying offensive team. And then as years went along and they added the Lars Ellers and added Tom Wilson and added physical players and added like Brooks Orpik or Matt Niskanen, they became multidimensional. This team is not multidimensional. They're one dimensional or two dimensional, and they have to be more than that for them to have success.
Did the Leafs not have a chip on their shoulder?
I do. I think they do. Okay.
Do they play?
Well, their chip is fighting through the other team's physicality. But that's the thing. It's like, that's the old Mike Babcock line. Our intimidation is our power play. No, your intimidation is not your power play, because the other team gets to wear on you. And that, you know, if you score power play goal after power play goal, fine. But that usually doesn't happen in the playoffs. So they get to beat on you. They get to wear you down. And in the end, it's a war of attrition. And you win or lose based on what you have left late in the series.
I think they're motivated. These guys want to win with what they have, but they don't have enough. And Austin Matthews, for as great as he is, isn't the one pulling the strings in the head office. Right. Rob M., this is interesting. And I was going to close it out with some Marner love. If I'm not wrong, Marner has been on the ice for all the OT losses, not blaming him, but he's got to stop making cute plays. Look, overtime has been a clusterfuck, and it appears that way. Mitch Marner is one of the most skilled players.
Let me
hold on. Sheldon Keefe was talking about, the way he, broke up an outlet from the Lightning last night, and then David Camp set him up on that shorthanded goal. He saw that play coming. Look, nobody's nerfing, but fuck, let's not get on Mitch Marner, man. This has been his season. He's been phenomenal.
Let me address this, because, I mean, okay, they
broke up. John Robb, he's a good guy. He's not a
They broke up. Matthews and Nylander, and Tavares and Marner in overtime. They put Marner with Matthews and Sandin. Okay, they win the faceoff, which has been a problem in the past. So because right now most of the battle in 3-on-3 is puck possession. Mm-hmm. So they possess the puck. Marner brings it into the offensive zone and drop passes. Okay, it was cute, but it worked. It got to Matthews. Matthews had the puck, and Matthews, instead of driving the net or passing it back to Marner and going deep, he throws it across ice to Sandin, and it gets intercepted. Now, that being said, the goal was bad. The shot from Killorn should have been stopped. So, you know, I can't really rip on Matt Murray because, you know, he's had six good games in a row after an okay performance in the opener. And last night, I thought he was good until that goal, but that goal costs them the point and costs them the game. But it wasn't the Marner play, the cute Marner play, the drop pass. It was the pass from Matthews across the ice, and it was the fact that Killorn was giving a...
Matthews is rarely blamed for anything, though, Mike. We know the blame is you. And again, not Rob, we know you're a good hockey fan and you understand what's happening, but usually when there's something to... There's an issue that needs to... That we need a pincushion for it. Usually it's usually on Marner, it's usually on Nylander, and then on the defensive end of things, it's on Justin Hall. Saint Matthews, he can do no wrong, because we're all going to be treading water lightly around this guy with the idea that he's going to eventually leave this team at some point. So it's just, you know, bring out the niceties, just be quiet about anything that he might show as a deficiency in his game, and, you know, let him be.
Sandin did the right thing on the break, where he allowed Killorn, he allowed Murray to have a clear line of sight for the shot. Matthews hustled back to try to catch Killorn, and he didn't deflect the shot, but his stick, it's the old Don Cherry thing. You put the stick in front of there and it distracts the goaltender. All that being said, Murray should have stopped the shot, but this team is absolutely snake bit when it comes to overtime. And again, that's a regulation overtime, regular season overtime, 3-on-3 overtime is not the same as 5-on-5 overtime in the playoffs. But this team, I mean, they've surrendered 6 points, and right now that 6 points, if I'm looking at the standings correctly, is the difference between them and Boston's got 40. They've got 36.
They win those six that they've lost, if they do, which is gonna, you know, that's the chances of that pretty slim. But say they did, they'd be right there in first place in the conference. If they win half of them, they're a couple of points back. The Leafs are in good position that way. For us to analyze what happens during three on three is why? Because you know it's a fucking crapshoot, right? We've seen teams dominate 3-on-3 and look phenomenal, and then a little bit of puck luck later, the other team who's been under siege for 4 minutes scores and wins it. Right, losing in 30 seconds is actually better for us, because we can get it over with and move on to the next opportunity, and that's Dallas. David Kampf was great on that Mitch Marner goal that extended his point streak, the shorthanded one. Marner was the one who broke up that play and kind of got things going that way. So, you know, he's doing what he needs to do, and it's been fun to watch. The point streak, I don't really give a shit about. It's just, you know, his development as a player, largely the team's development as a group, and watching this team, you know, evolve into something that'll give itself a better opportunity to overcome its demons. What I think needs to happen is the management needs to augment this group's talent and capability with something more. And that something more is just more authority, more support, and more physicality. Last thing, Mike, do you have a name that right now, if you could, and you think would it could be possible, a player that you would, if you were Kyle Dubas, transact for?
Well, I mean, I've been on the Lawson Crouse train for a while, but Lawson Crouse signed a long-term extension with Arizona. I don't think Arizona is going to trade him. Mm-hmm. And if they did, it would cost probably a first-round pick. So I don't think that's going to happen. Defensively, you know, I mean, a guy like Gavrikov from Columbus is somebody who could be in the mix. I don't think the Leafs are going to be in on the Klingbergs or the Shattenkirks or Shane Gostisbehere or these offensive defensemen, because that doesn't move the ball. They need they need physicality on the blue line, somebody that can replace Muzzin. And if they can get that, that will help. But I do think it can't be just a defenseman. There has to be a player or two that they bring in at the deadline that can play in their top nine or at least play more minutes as a fourth liner to be able to be physical and to respond to players on Boston and on Tampa. Otherwise, all you're going to be doing is taking the crap of Brad Marchand and Corey Perry and these guys on Tampa when it comes to playoff time. And in the end, they always win.
It remains to be seen how it all will play out, but we take it one game at a time and we live and enjoy the moment. Dallas on Tuesday, the Kings back home against the Leafs on Thursday, the Auston Matthews future team. That should be interesting how those two go at it. And Calgary at the Leafs on Saturday. So some tough games ahead for this Maple Leaf team. They've typically answered the call this season. We'll be happy about success. We'll be downright pissed off about failure. I think it'll land somewhere in between and we'll just keep on going, Michael. Sound good? Hey, check out Mike's stuff at hockeybuzz.com. Always the best read in the business. Whatever you can do to support us, we'd appreciate just the like to the content. And why don't you subscribe to the channel while you're here and maybe tell some of your friends about it. Maybe people who weren't jiving with the things we said in years past and have kind of forgotten about us. See if they'll come on back. And if, you know, the Leafs combo is certainly a foreign idea to people you know. You know, introduce what we do to them and we can bring people on board, because you know what, Mike, the more the merrier. You guys have a great Sunday. Enjoy the Leafs games ahead. For Mike, I'm Norm. We're out.